Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word as we continue to preach the long series. This is Bible lesson 198 in the Onward Christian Soldiers discipleship class by calling I Am an Evangelist. I don't call myself an evangelist because everybody and their mama call themselves evangelists, and many are not, and many have messed that great title up. At the same time, God has never given us titles. He gave us a job to do, so the title does not matter. This is class number 198. Two more weeks will be at 200 as to the classes, which is knocking on the door of 4 years every Sunday, but not counting some of the classes we gave before. How to Overcome Temptation, Part 74. I ask millennials sometime, what are you being tempted with? And I get the amazing answer, oh, I'm not tempted with anything. Well, I don't know what kind of world you're living in, or what you're doing, or what you're smoking, but everybody is tempted. Our key Bible verse is 1 Corinthians 10:13. Everybody is tempted with something. Ever since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the Bible assumes that you're being tempted. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, our key verse, in the book of James and other books as well, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. We are all tempted. Maybe we're not tempted with the same things. Your temptation may not be my temptation, but we are all tempted, unfortunately, to sin against God. But God is faithful. You don't see anywhere in here that we're faithful, because we're not, as we should be. We thank God for those who have grown faithful over the years. But God is faithful. And by the way, you'll never be faithful until you trust God with all of your heart, until you love God back because He first loved you. And even these simple truths are flying over the heads of some of you right now. And if you don't reverence God, fear God, and oftentimes the only thing that will instill in you the fear of God is God's chastisement and pain and rebuke. It's not fun, but it's good. Fear and reverence of God means that you respect God so much that you just will not do certain things. Joseph had it. He told the fine Mama Jama, wife of Potiphar, I cannot commit this sin against God. And in the words of Bishop Daniel White Jr., he got his grip and his hat, but he left his shirt. We're all tempted. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And people need to at least be honest, including millennials and including Generation X's, need to be honest, and including our older generation, who some are living a lie of 30, 40, 20, 15, 10 years, even to this day. Not only are they lying about it, they're living a lie about it. We have secret drunkards in the church who dare not tell anybody that they drink alcohol, but they drink it hard and heavy. They hide it. They have them a little friend to bring them a little bit here and there and every now and then and stock them up. And we don't find out that they have been drinking alcohol for the past 40 years until they need a liver from somebody in the church. Everybody's tempted. And everybody who says they're not tempted with anything, they are liars. Maybe they are tempted with lying, and they are lying, therefore. And there are some people, that's their sin. They can tell a lie quicker than you can cut the light off or on. They can tell a lie faster than the batting of the eye. And we have a strain of liars today who can look you in your eyes with the stolen cookies in their hands and tell you a lie without batting an eye, without shaking or quivering, caught red-handed and tell you a lie and expect you to believe it, and we'll get mad and hostile and even violent if you don't believe their lie. There are some people who lie so much that they believe the lies themselves. They have convinced themselves of the lie. This is the twisted, sinful nature that we have inside of us that would do that. By the way, some of you have been on the fast. It's coming to an end early Tuesday morning. And I'm looking at some of your bright faces. And some of you who had acne and skin issues, your face is bright and clear. And may I lovingly say to you, keep on keeping on and sticking close to that diet. You look healthy, as Daniel did back in his day on a fast that he never thought we would call the Daniel fast. Be that as it may, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted. It is assumed that you will be tempted. Above that ye are able, so you're lying if you're saying you're not tempted. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Please remain standing as we read the passage that we're going to bounce from today, as we deal with the temptation and the sin of slothfulness, laziness, being a sluggard. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Holy Father God, help us to learn from the ant today. Lord, help us to go to the book of wisdom. Help us to go to the man of wisdom that you anointed and blessed with wisdom beyond measure. And help us to take heed to your holy word. Help us not to yield to the temptation to be lazy, to lay on our behinds and think somebody is going to take care of us. Lord, we pray that you would deliver those from being tempted with the sin of slothfulness and laziness and being a sluggard, no account, not responsible. And Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, we pray that those who confess it as sin would repent of it as sin and be industrious. Pray, think, do, to be hard workers and to get things done for your glory, praise, and honor, for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, in their lives and in our time we have here today. Help us work. Lord, help us to work understanding that the night is coming when no man can work. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. On last week, by way of introduction, I quoted from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. I do this because the great prophet and pastor, the man of God, John MacArthur, says that the main point of preaching is explaining the scriptures and let God speak for himself. I preach every day by the grace of God, and so I'm not in the business of trying to reinvent the wheel when far more scholarly men than I will ever be have already done the hard work, and I quote them and give them credit, and then I preach what thus saith the Lord and what God has put in my heart to preach. And so I'm not like many preachers today who feel like you have to be original in everything you say. The sermon ought to be yours that you labored over, or at least had somebody else to labor over with you, and you must preach it hot by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I know of one pastor who writes his sermons completely out, but he still wants somebody to transcribe them because, as is the case with me, is the case with most preachers, God will give you things to say. Oftentimes, 50% of the message may not have even been written, or more or less, because right in the preaching moment, God gives you some new things to say that you never thought about before in the study. And if you are a preacher, I hope that that happens to you often, because it is an amazing thing. But I shared with you last week the Bible Knowledge Commentary regarding this unique and interesting passage. Says a person can become financially destitute by laziness as well as by foolish dealings. Solomon was probably not calling his son a sluggard. Could have been, we don't know for sure. He was speaking rhetorically to anyone who might hear or read the message. The Hebrew word for sluggard occurs 14 times in Proverbs and nowhere else in the Old Testament. It refers to more than laziness, which is very bad. In 15:9, a sluggard is contrasted with the upright, the good. And in 21:25 and 26, a sluggard is contrasted with the righteous, the upright, those who strive to do what is right. A sluggard is associated with 19:15, with the shiftless. A lazy, irresponsible person is challenged to learn from the ant and be wise, and everybody can learn from the ant. Dr. Dave Ramsey, I don't know if he's a doctor or not, he should be, is begging people to get your house in order so that your family can be stable. And he is begging you to save for emergencies. He's begging us to save for emergencies. He's begging us to put 15% of the household income into mutual funds so that you can have some kind of retirement, also in a RIA or this other tool that they have, the 401k or whatever it is. You know why? Because one day you're not going to be able to earn money. One day you're going to be sitting in a rocking chair, hardly able to move, and you're going to need some money to take care of yourself or to have somebody else take care of you in those days. And so I am telling all of my children and everybody I can to tune in to Dave Ramsey. And Dave Ramsey is so awesome, so bad, that on certain stations he comes on 3 hours back to back. So you can't miss him. And if you miss him, you can catch his podcast. And what he's telling you is what Solomon told us, to be like the ant. Work your behind off and stop buying everything. Eat beans and rice and rice and beans. Don't live off of credit cards. Burn those up. Cut them up. Credit card companies don't even argue with you anymore. Once you cut up your cards and send them to them, all you got to do, all you have to say is, "I'm doing the Dave Ramsey thing." They are, "Oh, okay. We know, okay." They're not even going to argue with you. "We're doing the Dave Ramsey thing. I can sell that car to you today for a no down payment, and you don't have to pay for the first 3 months." Somebody just, well, they'll say, "Well, I'm a Dave Ramsey disciple, so, you know, I can't do that." And Brother Dave Ramsey gives God the praise in every broadcast. He points people to Jesus. Ants known for being industrious are commended here for their initiative. Apparently, ants have no leader, no commander to direct them, no overseer to inspect their work, no ruler to prod them on. Don't you thank God for those kind of people who just get the job done on their own because it's right to do? Don't you hate being around slackers who won't do the right thing until they're forced to, until they're made to? These people are disgusting. Yet they work better, the ants, than many people under a leader. Ants also work in anticipation of future needs, storing and gathering while it is warm before winter comes. The virtue of wisdom is not in being busy, but in having a proper view of forthcoming needs that motivate one to action. Those who act only when commanded do not possess wisdom, and that makes them foolish. You might recall there's a passage in Scripture that's similar to this. You remember the virgins, those who had oil and those who didn't? And they had to go and beg for oil from others. Be wise, dear friends. Follow the instruction of the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, and anticipate things and prepare for things and move forward by faith in God and do the right thing. Work hard. First of all, pray hard, think hard, do hard, get things done. Don't wait on others to do it, because you'll wait on their lazy behinds all of your life. You better get it done yourself. Colin Powell, the hard-working Jamaican-American man, said, "A dream doesn't become reality through magic. It takes sweat, it takes determination, and it takes hard work. There's no such thing as magic." Have you ever seen a lazy ant? No, you haven't. You've never seen an ant standing still unless she or he saw the shadow of your shoe coming down upon it. Whenever you see ants, they are always working, usually together, scurrying about, gathering food from your house. You know, you've seen some ants come into your house and just take over your kitchen. One line is going to get the jelly. Another line is going to get the peanut butter that you left out. Why? Because you're lazy. You didn't want to clean up last night. And so the ant said, "We'll clean up for you." And the red that you left open, that is all gone. The ants have taken whole slices of bread back to their cubbyhole while you were asleep. When you come in the kitchen in the morning and see thousands of them, one line going, one line coming, they got a system on your food. And they don't stop like roaches and scatter. Ants keep on getting it until you start spraying stuff. And they say, "What's up?" when you walk in. "We got this." And when you start spraying some of anything, because you don't have any ant spray, you start spraying Glade and everything else to try to get them out of there. They say, "What are you trying to make us smell good? We got this right here. You can't hurt us. You should have never left this out. But we appreciate it." All this stomping and everything you're doing and slapping is not going to stop us. And because we have taken some of this stuff and put it behind the toaster so that when you go to bed tonight, we'll be back. Because we can't take it all with us. Whole slices of bread gone. Crunch of peanut butter gone. Strawberry jam, that's gone too. The sugar you left over that you put in your coffee, some of that's gone too. In fact, they're all in it. And what do? You throw the whole bread bag away, and they go right with it. And they say, "That's all right. That's how they talk to you. That's all right. You didn't kill us. You think you did. But we're just going to keep on taking. Thank you for all this bread. Woo! We're going to feast this winter. We still here." And then before you know it, in 3 hours, 4 hours, they got a line coming out the trash can. All down the trash can, all the way out the door. They got a system, buddy, that you can't defeat. So you better stop being lazy and clean your house up before you go to bed. A line of ants at work is a fascinating thing to watch. They don't get distracted, do they? They basically say to you, "Hi there, you do what you got to do. We're going to do what we got to do. You can best believe that." They are focused like a laser on what they have to do. They don't be chatting and talking. They have no boss. But somehow, they know what to do. Don't you love people like that? Who just know what to do. Who know how to get the job done. They just fall in place. Don't you love people like that? And don't you hate these people who come up, hand in the pocket, stand around, and you say, "Well, what are you doing?" "Oh, I'm just waiting for you to tell me what to do." You don't know what to do. You've been here for 90 days. "Yeah, I did some things yesterday. You want me to do the same thing?" "Yes, of course." And get your hands out your pocket. Ants can carry between 10 and 50 times their own body weight. And they can run at a speed of 800 times their own body length per minute. That's why your little shoes can't catch them. They do a song and dance on you, and they're gone. You talk about juking. They juke better than football players. They cross over better than basketball players. The ant is better than Steph Curry at making you go way over here while he stays over here and hits a three-pointer. The ants are not like roaches. They too, they're faster than roaches are. If ants were men, they would be able to carry 2,000 to 9,000 pounds and run at speeds of 52 miles an hour. Have you noticed a line of ants working and taking your food that you left out for them? They are flat getting it. I mean, they're flat getting it, but they're moving. They are not messing around. And they've been moving like that for 8 hours while you were asleep. No wonder Solomon tells us to go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. My God, don't we need to hear this today? What can we learn from this tiny creature? King Solomon notes that she has no guide, overseer, or ruler. There are no kings and queens, if you will, among the ants to guide them. No employers or bosses. No slave masters to crack the whip, so to speak. No foremans, but they flat get the job done. This tells us that we ought to be self-starters when it comes to work. It means that we ought to be working while we can, because night cometh when no man can work. And the night time for you is when you can't move like you used to move. You can't lift things like you used to be able to lift. You can't even drive like you used to, and I believe that somebody needs to come up with an age. We have an age of responsibility when you can drive. Somebody needs to come up with an age when you can't drive anymore. Amen, somebody. Because at a certain point, you start seeing things that are not there and not seeing things that are there. In the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. I will not tell. I was turning into a bank the other night, and I saw a pathway as clear as day, wider than the Red Sea, just as clear as it could be. And zip, bam, boom, almost turned the car over, because I didn't see something that I should have. And I'm not an old man yet, but if I can't see it, woo, Miss Blue Hair can't see it, I can assure you. She can't see you either. Miss, don't get mad at me. Miss Blue Hair drives like this right here. She's all up on the car seat. You've seen her. You better get away from Miss Blue Hair. Her hair is so gray, it's blue. She's 91 and she's still trying to get it. She's still driving. Where you going, Miss Blue Hair? I'm going to Walmart. You better get out the way, because I can't see you who's talking to me right now. I believe that there ought to be a cutoff. Somebody needs to make a rule, a law, or something, that when you retire 65, you need to get somebody else to drive you, because you're going to kill somebody. I believe, listen, if you follow the stats, I guarantee you, you got older people killing folks and they don't even know it. See the wall to the business and run right on into the wall, run on right on through the building. This happens all the time. And what do they say? I thought I hit the brakes, but I hit the gas evidently. They are just as sincere, and five people are dead. They're just as sincere. The police don't even want to charge them, but we got to charge you because five folk are dead because you ran through the building. You didn't stop at the wall. Well, I was coming to McDonald's, and here I am, all up into McDonald's. Kids, aghast. Mommy, this happy meal is not making me happy no longer. And who is this lady? We didn't invite her to the party. She literally crashed the party. You better get out of the way, Miss Blue Hair. Don't get mad with me. You know it's true. You're blind and looking like Mr. Magoo out there driving when you should not be driving. And I know it's hard to get your adult children to help you, but get somebody. Call visiting angels, but just make sure they're not visiting devils. And let them drive you. And use your little phone and get the apps that people can bring stuff to you. Be that as it may, the ants work together for themselves. They depend on no one to tell them what to do. They are self-employed, if you will. But they are employed. They're working. And too many people sit around waiting to be hired, to work for somebody. But being unemployed is no excuse for not working. God wants us to be productive with our time and to endeavor to supply for our needs through work. Even if you are looking for a job, there's always work that you can do in the meantime. And in today's world, with app-based jobs and freelancing opportunities, which is the wave of the future, you would be hard-pressed to find a person who has a legitimate excuse for being slothful and lazy. You can do something if you want to. And in this economy, you can get a job if you want a job. What else can we learn from the ways of the ant? The ant is consistent in her work and looks ahead to the future. She provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Why the seasons of summer and harvest? Because she knows The winter is coming when the ground is frozen and nothing grows. You don't see ants scurrying around in the snow because they worked hard to stock up on food all summer and fall. And during the winter, they are snug, pun not intended, as a bug, and well fed in their little hills. In a similar manner, we ought to work hard now with an eye to the future. If you want to buy a house or a car in 2 years, 3 years, or what have you, you have to work hard now and save the money. Unless you have been blessed in other ways. Consistent hard work today is the key to a productive and enjoyable and more pleasant tomorrow. And so, beloved, if you struggle with the temptation of sloth and laziness or being a sluggard, take this passage to heart and begin to use it in the next time. Use it the next time, rather, you face this temptation. And some of you fathers who have lazy sons, if you have to go to work with him to teach him good work ethic, then do that. Do whatever you have to do to help him to understand that this world is not going to take care of you. And that even you will not take care of a man who refuses to work. For if you don't work, the Bible says, neither should you eat. Paul could have been full-time in the ministry, but he chose to work. He was a tent maker. Jesus was a carpenter. Paul was a tent maker. But both were in the building business. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy, and your grace. Forgive us of our sins, our failures and faults. And Lord, if we have any among us who are lazy, slothful, sluggards, Lord, help them to confess their sins and repent and to become hard workers. And even if they have to work for themselves, to work hard for themselves and for their family. And that's a beautiful thing and a noble thing and a good thing. And I pray that they would understand that it could be very good for them and their family if they had their own business and work it hard. And Holy Father God, we pray for the Generation X and the millennial group of young people who somehow have not learned this, have not grasped this principle. Lord, help them to understand that nobody is going to give them what they need. They have to earn it. They have to work for it in America and in all other countries around the world, as we are heard around the world. Help us to obey your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, in closing, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in the free pardon of your sins, John said in John 3:16, Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, rather, for God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that's good news. The Bible also says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if thou, you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, beloved, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you would believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead by the power of God, you would be believing the gospel, which is the good news that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And he paid your sin debt. This is the good news. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to go to church to get it. You don't have to be baptized to get it. All you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. And I will be glad to pray with you the sinner's prayer. Mean it from your heart. Pray it after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please forgive me of all of my sins, that I have sinned in your sight, such as lust for people and lust for things, envy and jealousy of other people, lying and living a lie, stealing from other people, and other sins that I've committed where I've broken your Ten Commandments. I realize that I am guilty before you and that I deserve hellfire. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe in Jesus Christ with all of my heart, as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I believe that he took my place on the cross, and he went through hell for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right where you are, wherever you are, in your car, on the treadmill, walking in the park, sitting down with your baby child, or sitting in the den, or in the living room, wherever you might be, in Africa, India, Europe, Asia, wherever you might be, Australia. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you, based upon the word of God Almighty, not my words, not yours, but the words of God, you are now saved from hell itself because of your sins, and you are on your way to heaven by the grace of God and what Jesus Christ did for you and all of us on the cross. This is why we call it good news. This is why in a few days we're going to be celebrating Good Friday. It was a bad Friday for Jesus Christ that day, and a bad Friday for Almighty God when he had to turn away from his Son who was dying on the cross for sin. our sins. For God cannot look upon sin. The Lamb of God took away the sins of the world. You talk about love. You have never been so loved. This is, in the words of Brother Chan, now I get it, crazy love. So, dear friend, welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will not be crucified again. He did it once and for all and for all time. And so he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will come back one day to reign. And he wants to, believe it or not, reign with you. So for more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, from the Onward Christian Soldiers Bible Class, may the Lord bless you and keep you.